Welcome back to Conversations with Doc Martin. This video series focuses on extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. Please don't forget to hit the subscribe button and click notifications so you don't miss out on our next guest. Today, however, we are joined by Tanya Forshide. Tanya is chair of Frankfurt Kernet Klein & Sells Privacy and Data Security Group and the supervising partner at the Los Angeles office. The Legal 500 praised her in the 2020 edition as a leading expert in the California Consumer Privacy Act, which we'll talk a little bit about, and is one of the leading authorities in data privacy. The Daily Journal has twice named her as one of the top cyber attorneys in California, and she is also an adjunct professor at Loyola Law School. So, Tanya, welcome to you. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I was super excited to have you on. I've obviously watched your career my entire life, because for our guests out there, as a matter of disclaimer, although it's not needed, but it's kind of fun, we're related. So Tanya is a cousin. Her dad is my first cousin. So Tanya is really, as it says in her bio, she's really a leading expert in this area. And it's really why I wanted to have her on the show, because frankly, there's so much to talk about. I mean, you know, TikTok's been in the news, privacy in general has been in the news, privacy and just social media in general relative to the election's been in the news. I mean, none of this is any secret to anybody. So Tanya, I guess maybe where we could start, I mean, obviously you're an attorney. We share that with everybody. But how'd you get into this area of the law? Kind of curious.
Yeah, it was kind of by accident, honestly. And these days, a lot of students and newer attorneys ask me that question, you know, oh, yeah, like, did you always know that you wanted to do privacy? And it's my answer is always, well, no, because it wasn't a thing at all. Right. I graduated law school in the late 90s. And at that time, there was no such option. I was a litigator. Mm-hmm. I litigated all kinds of commercial disputes in a large law firm. Some of them involved technology. Mm-hmm. And then what I'd say is in like the middle of the first decade of this millennium, so I don't know, 2005, 2006, mm-hmm. there was a partner that I worked with at my firm who was kind of starting a privacy practice. Mm-hmm. And also, it was a time period of a lot of change in the world because, for example, I mean, I don't know if anybody remembers, but Facebook wasn't really a thing until, let's say, like 2007, 2008, which is when it went from being like a school university thing to more widespread. And then at the same time, there were some new laws, which I won't get into the weeds on, but there were some new laws, in particular here in California, that require companies to tell people if their data had been breached, mm-hmm. right? And that was the first time that we had seen that. And so there was a need because companies, for the first time in many cases, need to understand, like, what happens? How can we avoid this, right? We don't want people's data to be compromised. Right. And if we do have a situation, what do we do? So that's when I started working on this kind of thing, and it's grown. It's grown because of the way the world has changed and that there's so much data. Yes. And social media is such a huge thing. Yeah. And so my role is working, I'm still in an outside law firm, so I work with companies to help make them improve their practices, right? But that in turn really does help consumers, right? In other words, you have to have people on the corporate side doing what they can to not just do the legal thing, what's mm-hmm. legally required, but do the right thing. Right. And we always run into interesting ethics questions too, which I'm sure we can explore today. But so that's kind of how it happened, and a little bit of being in the right place at the right time.
Sure, I think that goes for almost anything in life, right? Yeah. Being in the right place at the right time. So in regards to just this whole subject, let's kind of go outside in, if you will. So, you know, when you think about internet privacy, and you think about some of the information or disinformation that's out there about social media and so forth, what do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions about data privacy in general?
Sure. So there's some big ones. Like the first big one is that, actually this may be counterintuitive, but the first really big one is that there's no such thing as privacy anymore. It's not true. You can control as an individual, you have the ability to control a lot of things about how your data is used and how it's used and how it's shared. It's not complete in the sense that there is a certain degree to which in the world today, if we're operating online, if we're living our lives online, whether that's purchasing things or whatever, like some of your data has to be collected. Yeah. It has to be. If I want to get groceries delivered during the pandemic, I have to give my data over so that somebody can use it to deliver groceries to my home.
Yep.
But if I don't want to have, you know, my data used in certain ways, then there are a lot of things I can do to control that. I can choose not to share certain things on social media. I can learn how to use the privacy settings on these services, which have, I will say, gotten much better over time, depending, you know, all the different platforms.
Sure.
And I can control who I share with, and I can be, and I can educate myself. Now, this is the hard part.
Right.
And this is the part where, honestly, I do think there's more to be done for consumers because, you know, there's a lot of assumption about how sophisticated consumers are, and many people are not, and we shouldn't expect them to be, right? We all come from different backgrounds, different generations, different socioeconomic backgrounds, and there really is a need for us, and by us, I mean the corporate world, the government, to educate people on how to take care of their data and how to control it. But there are ways to do that, and I actually think that the younger generations, millennials, certainly Gen Z and beyond, are much more knowledgeable about this, right? As a general matter, because, you know, people, you'll see older generations, you know, mine included, say things like, oh, young people don't care about their privacy, like whatever. It's not true.
Right.
Not true. It's another misconception. They really care about their privacy, but they think of it in a different way. It's almost more about dignity, right? It's not just like my data, like they still want to share.
Right.
Right. They still want to share with their friends. They still want to be able to connect with people using digital media, but they don't want people that they have said no, right? Whether that's their parents,
right,
or some company or the government or whatever it is, they have their own concept of what's right and wrong, and they want to be able to control those limits. And so they have learned, and they're going to get even better at how to do that, right?
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of things we could talk about, and now I know we'll get to those things. But yeah,
yeah.
So it's, privacy is not dead, and and young people do really care about privacy.
Yeah. It's funny. I've noticed that. I hadn't thought about this until you just said it, because I have, you know, I feel so blessed. I have friends and family of all ages, like literally. And some of my younger friends, I've noticed more often than not, when they're sharing stories, I'm in the close friends group. And it's not like the public group, I think, would be one example of what you're speaking to.
Exactly.
And, you know, I know myself, I you know, being a little older, I kind of lean on certain other people, and, you know, we could talk about TikTok and all that kind of craziness.
Yeah.
You know, it is a challenge. And so if somebody said to you, like, where do I go to get myself educated on how to protect myself?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it feels like it's a little bit of the wild, wild west out there.
Yeah.
Where would you point people?
I think the best resources, I actually think starting a little bit with your own circle, which I know in some cases is not going to be helpful, right? For some people, that's like, sorry, I just don't know people. But if you have kids or grandkids who really get technology, like, go to them. Like, I actually think a lot of younger people would be delighted to talk to their parents or grandparents about these things. And you can do it without having to be intrusive yourself, right? You don't have to ask them about all the whatever they're doing. Because by the way, you know, there's Instagram, and then there's like your fake Insta, which is Finsta, right? There's all kinds of things that people do. But no, I think talking to people in your circle, friends, family is almost always going to be the best way. And then after that, there are some other resources out there. There are some regulators, including, like, for example, the Federal Trade Commission is the federal regulator, the FTC, that actually has a really great public website for consumers. It covers a lot of things. It covers also things like identity theft and stuff like that. But it's a really good resource for people, and it's pretty straightforward. Depending on the state that you live in, it may also be the case that some states have a Department of Consumer Protection. Some states have just, it sometimes comes through the Attorney General's office. And you can look online, right? What you don't want to do, and then actually before I get to what you don't want to do, the platform itself. So if you're using Facebook, go to the privacy tab. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm a big proponent. I'm not going to endorse Facebook or how it's doing anything. I also don't represent them, so I can say whatever I want about them. But I think that over time, they have improved in how they explain how to use their controls. And honestly, unfortunately, every platform is different. Facebook is different from Instagram, although they own them, which is different from Twitter, from TikTok, from Snap, whatever. You kind of have to go into the controls for each one. And if you're really not sure, err on the side of, I don't want any of this, right? You can always, and in the US, sometimes that means you have to change some of the boxes because it's not necessarily going to be set up the right way by default. So you look at what those choices are. And so, for example, do I want my information to be used for advertising? Probably not.
No.
A lot of people don't. Like, some people don't care, but some people really don't like it, actually. And so, none of that. None of that. And, you know, do I want my information to be shared with other people to, like, give me offers on products or services? And maybe you're someone who really likes getting deals out of the blue, right? Maybe you're a kind of person who gets an email from some company you've never heard of and you're like, whoa, like, that's really creepy.
That's me.
And you don't want that, right? And what you want to do is say, no, right? Take the time. I actually think that for most people, if you sat down and spent an hour, maybe a couple of hours, looking at those settings in the services that you use, that you would pretty quickly be able to figure out and to set it up so that going forward, you could feel like you have more control, and you probably will have more control because the laws have also changed to give you that. One other thing I was gonna mention, this is where talking to people who you know can help. I see all the time, it happens less often now, but often, like, people of my parents' generation, you know, I love my parents. They haven't done this. They're not on Facebook. My parents are not on Facebook, so I'm not talking about them. But I've seen people of my parents' generation who do things like go on Facebook and they think they're just talking to a friend, but what they're actually doing is writing on the wall.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
That everybody sees. And I think they're doing it because it's like writing on the wall in Facebook is kind of the easiest thing to do. You go in and you're like, oh, look, I can write there. You know, it's right there. But that's the kind of thing where if you're a little bit knowledgeable, you know that you can just message a person, right? You can use the messaging. And that in and of itself makes a huge difference.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I always kind of chuckle because in every platform, it says who you are. Now, unless you don't have a picture and your username has nothing remotely to do with you, I just get such a chuckle where it's like, blah, 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 love mom or love Susie or Johnny. I'm like, yeah, your name is right up there. So it's really cute. I'm not criticizing. I love it. It makes my heart.
Yes, it's very nice.
So let's kind of transition a little bit to kind of law stuff because, and I think before we leave this, I mean, I do that myself. Like every 6 months or so, I'll sit down, I'll, you know, pick up my phone, I'll click on privacy, I'll go through. And, you know, sometimes I get surprised because they change things. I'm like, whoa, I don't want that. And with this passion project of mine, you know, I basically hired somebody who does this for a living to understand all the social medias and all the hashtags and where to put stuff. And because I just, I don't have the time to do that. And so let's talk a little bit about the legal element, because, you know, as part of your introduction, you have been named as one of the leading experts in the California Consumer Privacy Act. And that's, as you and I were talking before we hit record, that's kind of a seminal thing to have occurred. And people may not be aware of it. So why don't you share with us a little bit about what that is and what the possible implications will be?
Yeah, I do actually really want people to know what that is and and what they can do, what how they can use it. So California did something remarkable 2 years ago, which was to pass the first law that's very, it's European in nature, in the sense that Europe has always had stronger privacy rights for individuals. In Europe, privacy is actually considered to be a fundamental human right. This is not how we treat it here. In fact, some people may not realize, but our Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, does not have a right of privacy in it. There have been, as people know, Supreme Court cases that interpret other parts of the Constitution to give privacy. And in fact, that in and of itself is something that is still evolving. And you know, one of the reasons why we all kind of watch the court. But there is no right to privacy in the Constitution. Some states have it, California has it. But California passed a law very much more like Europe. And what that means is that if I live in California, anyone who is a resident of California can exercise certain rights. So I can go to pretty much any organization that I have given my data to and say, I want you to delete my data. I want you to give me a copy of my data. I want you to not sell my data. Those are the big three things. Delete, get a copy, don't sell it. Now, it's going to have different meanings for different companies. For example, if you, what you can't do is if you want to, let's go back to the groceries. If you want to get groceries delivered to you, and in order to do that, you have to give your information so that they can charge your card and deliver the groceries to your house. You can't say, delete my data, but I still want to get groceries from you. Doesn't work that way, which seems obvious, but sometimes people don't understand. What you can do is you can basically say, you only want them to keep the data that they need to do that, right? I only want you to keep the data you need for me to order my groceries and to deliver them to me. I don't want you to use my data for other purposes, essentially. So if you have data of mine for other purposes, you should delete it. You know, if you want, you can ask them to give you a copy. People, interestingly, don't do this, even though those rights have now been available. They just kicked in at the beginning of 2020. The beginning of 2020 is when they started. We really haven't seen a lot of people exercising those rights, which is strange. But as time goes by, those rights are going to get even bigger because there's now a new part of the same law, essentially, that will kick in a couple more years, in 2023, that will let me correct my information if it's wrong. It will let me say, if I know that you are using my information to do sort of like automated processing, like things with algorithms and all that fancy stuff that are, you know, to make decisions about my life, right? Or to offer me things or not offer me things. I can say, don't do that. I can say, I don't want you doing that. That's going to kick in a couple of years. And it's also going to mean in a couple of years that you can completely stop someone from sharing your data to do that online tracking, the advertising that happens online. So let me give a real life example of what this is. I'm on ESPN because I'm a sports fan and I'm looking at articles about sports. And then, you know, it so happens I'm also in the market for a new car. So, and I might, maybe I do it on my laptop, maybe on my phone. I go check out some cars on various sites. Mm-hmm. And then, strangely, I'm on Facebook one day and I start seeing ads for cars. And maybe I'm also seeing ads for sports related stuff. Mm-hmm. The way it works, by the way, is they do not know that's Tanya. That's true. When they say they don't want to know it's Tanya, they really don't know my name. But what they do know is they can track, they use technology to track me when I go on my browser, you know, on the internet, using something called an IP address, which is just a string of numbers that's attached to my computer. They can see it. And then they use an ID on my phone to know when I'm going on my phone. And then the technology has gotten so good that they can connect it together, right?
Yeah, because a lot of people have this idea that they're listening through your microphone.
No. I mean, sometimes it definitely feels that way, for sure.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
But they're not actually listening to you. What they are doing is and this is totally legal, by the way. There's nothing illegal about this.
Yeah.
They are using these things called cookies, mm-hmm. not the cookies, but the software cookies.
Yeah.
To kind of drop them on their website and to watch you. And that's another thing you can control, by the way, because yep. even today there are services to help you block cookies. Mm-hmm. And you can always opt out. You can always clear your cookies, clear your browser, mm-hmm. right? And there's all kinds of ways you can do that. But in a few years, you'll actually be able to say, hey, do not share my data to do that kind of, like, hey, ESPN, don't share my data to do that kind of advertising. Mm-hmm. Fill in the blank car dealer, right. Don't share my data to do that. It's going to take a little while for these things to work exactly the way they should.
Right.
But these are really pretty robust rights. And I have to say, I think that if more people took advantage of them, mm-hmm. that two things would happen. Number one, more companies would take it seriously.
Totally.
Which I actually, you know, being a representative of the corporate side, right? I have a lot of clients who are always trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. That's why they hire someone like me, because typically if they're not interested in doing the right thing, they don't come right. to someone like me. But right. if they do, what happens is there are plenty of other companies who are like, you know, mm-hmm. this, no big deal, costs a lot of money, doesn't always cost a lot of money, but, you know, it's a pain, like we're just trying to, you know, get this new service out or something. Mm-hmm. The more companies buy in, the better it is for everyone.
Totally.
And so the more that consumers say, hey, yeah, I really do like want you to do X, Y, Z, the better. So it sends a message, and it also means, and this is something I would personally appreciate, that the law would not keep changing, because whenever a law doesn't seem to be working the way somebody thinks it should, like, you know, consumers are still upset about privacy. Consumers are always going to have some complaints about privacy, sure. no matter what. But then, you know, you get all kinds of political stuff that happens, and then the law changes, and then that is hard because It, at the end of the day, and if you're a consumer, you're going to say, like, why do I care, right? Like, who do I care if the law changes? It actually does impact you, because at the end of the day, it probably means that it's going to cost you more money to get the things you want mm-hmm. online. Because every time a company has to spend more money on legal help for someone like me, they're right. going to jack up prices, right? And so getting free stuff on the internet, if we like getting free stuff on the internet or cheap stuff on the internet, mm-hmm. there's two things that you have to do. Number one is, if you have rights, exercise your rights so sure. that people know it's important to you. Number two, accept the idea that, it, unfortunately, in the world we live in, there really isn't any free lunch sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the less you have to pay for something,
yeah,
the more likely that your information is going to be used in ways that maybe you don't love.
Exactly.
And Facebook is a really good example of that, because Facebook is free. And Facebook is such, it's so unavoidable to some people, right? I want to see pictures of my grandkids.
Right.
I want to be able to communicate with my friends during a pandemic, whatever it is. Facebook has so much information that they sit on. They don't have to share it to make money. People right. come to them.
Right.
So advertisers come to Facebook and say, here, take my money. And I want you to find all the people who like Ariana Grande. And I'm just right. totally making this up. And target ads to them.
Sure.
So this is a cycle. Mm-hmm. If you like having free Facebook, you are by definition giving up some of your rights.
Absolutely.
And you have to understand that. Mm-hmm. You can control it. Privacy is not dead. You can control it by making sure you're only sharing with people you want to share. Mm-hmm. You're opting out of things that you don't want them doing. But ultimately, you are part of a platform that is monetizing that data.
Sure.
And the only real way to get completely out is to not use it.
Right, exactly. So you know, this is a at least from where I sit, a bit of a more yeah. rosy story than a lot of people may think. You know, I love that you said, you know, privacy's not dead. You have right. control over who shares what. There are laws coming out, particularly in California, yeah. that are augmenting these rights. And that, you know, and I've always felt that myself, and you yeah. couldn't have said it better. If you're using Facebook, which I do, and right. you're not paying for it, that nothing is free. There's always a price to it. So yeah. I guess as we kind of think about concluding our time together, what are some of the things you'd like to leave people with relative yeah. to how you see the future relative yeah. to how people are going to use stuff and privacy and protection?
Sure. So there are a couple of things, and one of them I actually meant to touch on earlier, and I skipped over it. I'll come back to it. Mm-hmm. There's also, and it's not directly privacy, but it's related to privacy, which is the really bad information online that we get from so many sources, right? Bad information and sometimes abusive information, right? Information that can lead to real harm to people in a lot of different ways. And then, of course, there's the even bigger problem in many ways of people using social media and platforms to actually inflict harm on other people,
yeah.
right? Not just through information. So I think some of the things to leave you with, pay attention. So let's just focus for a moment. Children, don't let children who are under 13, right? That's the age in the US really. Like if you're under 13, they're not supposed to be on these platforms without parental consent. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. And kids get to a certain age and they're like, mom, please, everybody's on Instagram. Everybody, you know, like my favorite ever was a friend of mine who, her kid was on. And I remember seeing that she, the mom, posted happy 12th birthday to so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And I thought, here's the thing. The platform takes the position that they don't know that your kid is under 13. If the kid said they were over 13, of course the kid is lying. Mm-hmm. Federal law actually says you can't. You've just told the platform that this kid under 12 is under 13 and is there, and that's not responsible. Mm-hmm. As a parent, it's not responsible. It also makes parents should not give in to the pressure from their kids to let them do this at an early age and expose them to all these things, right? And also, kids are not sophisticated enough at that age to understand how to control their information in this way. So that's one big thing. Number two, the platforms are starting to be better about identifying where information comes from. And that's been as a result of some of the controversy mm-hmm. Over political issues. And
sure.
you know. So now when you go on Facebook, you may have noticed you'll get a little information signal that will tell you something about where the article came from and maybe even like score it. It's really important to look, you know, don't just buy it. If a friend of yours is like, oh my gosh, did you see this article? Like, this mm-hmm. is crazy. You know,
yeah.
COVID is a hoax or, you know, I'm just going to like, whatever.
yeah.
Look at the source of the information
right.
and figure out, right? Don't friend everyone in the world. Don't connect with everyone in the world because your network is only as strong as the weakest link.
Yep.
If you somebody in your network who themselves is not responsible about sharing, or who gets hacked. And when somebody says they've been hacked, it can mean a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I have to tell you, sometimes when somebody says they've been hacked on Facebook, I unfriend them, not because I don't like them,
right,
but because I no longer can trust that whoever I thought it was is that person. It could be that someone else is using their account.
Right.
Another signal, someone you thought you knew suddenly shows up for a second or third time to friend you, but I thought I was already friends with you. That's somebody engaging in bad behavior. So be responsible, sort of follow the rules online that you would follow in your real life about who you would connect with and who you would share information with. I actually block people on Instagram because Instagram is not really people I'm friends with. If somebody follows me, like, I'm generally okay if somebody follows me, but if I see the follower is like, doesn't have any connections, or it looks like a fake account, or even better, another good one, if you get a weird direct message from someone you don't know, block that person, right?
Yeah.
Don't feel like, oh, I'm nicer than that. Like, no. That's a really creepy person. Don't do that.
Yeah.
So there's all those kinds of things. And I do think the future is positive. I think that there are lessons that have been learned. I think you're going to continue to see a lot of pressure from regulators on these big platforms to change their practices.
Mm-hmm.
And they are no longer, they are not going to remain unregulated for the rest of time.
Right.
But not just for privacy reasons, other things like, you know, antitrust and other things. Like, they're too big and they control too much. So, so it's going to change. And, if in doubt, pick up the phone and call someone you know and ask them about something that you're experiencing online. If in doubt. Yeah.
Absolutely. Great advice. Great advice. Thank you so very much. You know, it's been so great to spend time with you to kind of, you know, dispel some myths and put some real facts behind what we're all experiencing and give everybody an inkling about what California is doing legally and how that might implicate the rest of the country and maybe even, well, not the world, because Europe is a lot more stringent.
Already better.
Yeah, they've already done that. But anyway, but listen, Tanya, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll have some links to some information like the FTC website down below. So please don't forget to subscribe and click notifications. And as I always end every video, please remember that life speaks to you. And if you think it doesn't, you're not listening. Take care, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.